Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovka but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Fat Sam.
Fat Sam, really?
I got officially diagnosed as fat.
Did you?
Yes, I went to the doctor because I'm not going to bore the listener with the details of my medical issues, but he was like, you're fat now. So I'm Mr. Beating Your Fat. Dr. Beating Your Fat, should
yeah.
be. So I need to lose a little bit of weight. I'm one point something of a BMI's width away from being in prime shape. I don't know.
Really?
Is that what you'd say?
If you get one and a bit BMI down, you'll be in prime shape, will you?
I also had an ultrasound today on my ankle.
Are you pregnant? Or?
I'm not pregnant. I made that joke to the doctor.
I'm sure they've heard it a million times.
Have they heard it from me? It's the way you deliver it. But yeah, how are you, David?
I'm all right. I'm sort of looking forward to, sort of dreading going to Tabor on Saturday.
Yes.
Booked everything earlier. We're going to have a little talk about that later. That's going to be a very long day.
Yes.
Other than that, no, fine. We've got all the regular bits, plus a couple of new features for this season.
Which I don't even know about.
No, coming your way. And
so if they're shite, we're going to find out on air.
Certainly, yeah. And the outro song is going back to Czech covers of well-known English language songs.
The fans have asked for this.
Yes.
Our listeners have asked
They've
for
demanded,
this.
So and it means far less singing from me, i.e. no singing from me, which is an excellent turn
I'm
of events.
I'm still upset in the way that you finished it off.
Well, that series is over. We're on to series six.
God.
Listener.
God,
you'd
think at this time, by this time, we'd, settling down or thinking about starting families or something like that. No, it's red hot second division Czech football content for yet another season.
I mean, the reason we're not settling down and having families is because we're still doing this. It's a self-perpetuating
thing. That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, let's have a listen to, well, us. Discussing what happened in the first three games of the season.
What a link.
After this. We opened the season against Apple Pie and Custard Vlašín.
The curtain raiser. Well, I say the curtain raiser. It was the last game of the round, because obviously it kicked off with Jihlava on Friday, full card Saturday, Sunday, and then we were annoyingly at 5:30 on a Monday,
certainly
which was
were.
Annoying to get out of work for. But get out of work we did.
Yep.
And were we treated, David, to a feast of football?
No.
Join us after the break. Yeah.
Us and just over 3,000 other people rocked up at Srpska for the Monday early evening 5:30 job.
Yeah.
The starting lineup was sort of half and half. New recruits Martin Novi and Martin Tommel joined Lukas Endel and Josef Divišek in a back four. Midfield five of Adam Kronos, Texel, David Jambor, Hanselman, Adam Falsek, and Tomáš Smekal, and Reznicek ploughing his lone beefy butchery furrow up front.
Good.
Yes. How did it start? Well, slowly.
Slowly. Not that much happened in the first half from a Zbrojovka perspective. The problem was that it had very much a pre-season friendly vibe.
It did, didn't
from our
it? Yeah, it really
squad.
Did.
And that's, you know, and that's due to a couple of things. It's due to be fair, a lot of players missing. I think six players missing.
Mm.
But then you have to ask yourself, you know, how much is like a Pachlopnik, for example, who is missing or listed as missing, is going to really have on the season. He's not going to be starting games. He's not going to be playing 90 minutes. He's not a first choice player. Ali, okay, maybe. But, you know, so there wasn't even really that sort of excuse, but it was quite... It was plodding. It was a team that wasn't so familiar with themselves.
Absolutely not, no. And as you say, basically nothing happened for the first half. On 60 minutes, Vlašín's Gambian forward, Ebrima Singhate, on loan from Slavia, opens the scoring, and suddenly we wake up.
Yep. Suddenly Zbrojovka started to get better. after going a goal down. If you're going to be a regular theme, yeah, by the way, listener.
Also, if you feel like you've heard this verse before, listener, you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time. So, absolutely. Yeah, we plodded our way through the first hour. They score, and suddenly we went, oh shit, we're in a football game.
And that goal had been coming as well. Like, I mean, there was, I don't know how much you would consider them as gilt-edged chances, but there was like significantly more activity in the Zborovka box than there was the Vlašin box, particularly in the first half. Mm. There were a couple of, I think, quite smart saves and near misses of that point. Vlashim's number six, John.
John,
his surname.
Yes.
I don't know his first name, but yeah, John the number six. We'll call him. I thought he was superb in the match. I thought he was really sort of driving things.
Even after the first 10 minutes, you really marked him out, didn't you? You were like, this guy's. He was fast as well, wasn't he?
He carried
absolutely
the ball 40
driving
yards.
Driving midfielder,
this is it.
Yeah.
So I mean, really nice. And that's not even one of these. He's been with Vlašim, I believe, for a couple of seasons now, and he's. You know, not one of these flashy, you know, promising 21-year-olds on loan from someone. He's actually just their sort of squad leader. Yeah. And I thought he was very good indeed. Didn't have to be that good, actually, because no. We were just really slow. It was, you know, Fosek got hooked at halftime, I think, as well. He had a particularly poor one. Yeah. But things did get a little bit pacier, a little bit better after they took the lead.
Yeah, I mean, it still took us 20 more minutes to equalise, but Reznicek scores from a Roman Potocny assist, and then we huff and puff to no avail, and it finishes in a 1-1 draw. It's not. It was ropey, but it wasn't. It wasn't the worst opening we could have had. I mean, it was fairly ploddy, but everyone just looked a bit off the pace.
Yeah.
So we had. You know, we thought, well, you know, maybe when we get up to speed and we get a couple more games under the belt, maybe something will happen. And something did happen, because around 40 hardy souls headed to Andruf last Sunday to watch us win our first game, second game, and we beat Sigma Olomouc B 2-1, which felt good at the time, but having seen Sigma Olomouc B's results recently, particularly yesterday.
You mean the one game since, yeah.
Yeah, where they lost 6-3, was it, to Jihlava?
6-3, Jihlava.
To goals, Jihlava.
Jihlava look, or whatever they're called now, like FC Vysočina. They're good. Like they
yeah,
look,
they are.
It's weird because honestly, like I can't remember Jihlava being good since that one season that we were down, and then they unbelievably fucked up their second half of the season, and
led to like a massive fire sale. They basically had to mm-hmm. rebuild completely, didn't they?
And they've been basically terrible ever since. Didn't pull up any trees last season, and now they're 3 wins from 3, along with, I think, 2 other teams.
Vyshkov and Tabor.
Tabor, that we're going to yep. speak about. And again, I mean, Zbrojovka, Brno, apparently very confident that we will scoosh this league, have just decided to start every single game from a goal down.
Yeah, we went behind after 7 minutes in this one. Yunisa Muritala, Sigma's Nigerian forward, scoring. And we appear to dig in. Reznicek, of course, equalises after half an hour with Adam Kronos contributing his first assist of the campaign. Roman Potocny put us in the lead after just over an hour, and we never looked massively troubled from there on mm-hmm. out.
Not a great game was no. what I heard from people that were there.
A couple of people saying Kronos looked good.
I would be inclined to agree with that, based on the last couple of, the last 3 games.
Yeah. Of the two Pilsen loanees, he seems to be the one who's just sort of dropped fairly happily, and we haven't seen much of Gashchik yet, but I'm sure we will.
Yeah. The thing about Kronos is that he's built like one of those 80s wrestling figures where you squeeze the legs and they sort of swing around.
Yeah.
So he's all, was it you that said this? He was all neck, no, all shoulders, no neck.
He's perfectly rectangular. He's like a Jenga block stood on his
end.
He's
like, I think it looks more like a Dorito. Like he's got, you know, sort of really wide, or Klaus Nomi when he was doing those sort of sorts of things, but like a hench Klaus Nomi.
I've written down a couple of takeaways from the first 2 games.
Please do.
Reznicek is still unstoppable. I mean, you know, even up front by himself, that's I mean, we will come to the Dukla game. Spoilers, it's 2-3 mm-hmm. already for him, despite, yeah, playing up front by himself. The Texel-Potocny midfield axis looks quite good. Mm-hmm. Texel, clearly a Pirmy Liga midfielder. Potocny has been for 10 years.
Very competent.
Yeah, very competent. Very neat. Tomáš Smekal hasn't turned up.
Yeah, I was going to raise that in the Dukla game, but I honestly think he's looked very poor.
Yeah, and my final one is, as mentioned, Adam Cronus is perfectly rectangular.
Yeah.
yes. Anything else to add from the first two games?
No,
we're gonna do a bit of a dig into the Dukla one later.
Yeah, so. I think I'll keep my hot takes.
Okay.
From because the best thing about doing this podcast today, David, is that. That game was yesterday, and I'll be honest with you, when I left you off the tram and went for a pint with Dan, ended up getting stupidly drunk and got out of the pub at, I think, about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Woof.
I can still remember the game, though.
Good. Right. Yeah, I was just really angry. I just came home and watched telly and went to bed. Anyway, let's have some hot or nots, and then we're going to turn our attention to Dukla Prague. It's hot or not o'clock. I'm not singing because we don't need that anymore.
I was expecting you to as well.
So, yeah, I panicked briefly because I didn't have a song and then realised I didn't need one. So that's nice. One each?
One each, yes.
Okay, begin.
All right, well, I've got two quickies, basically, a hot and a not. And my hot is Mart Acox's free kick goal for Panama against France.
Yes.
In the Women's World Cup. Ooh!
Kablamo.
Really, really good goal.
Yes.
That's really all I have to say. It's just a very, very good goal.
It's a very, very good goal.
And you'd be hard pressed to see a better free kick taken this season. It's from miles out as well.
Yeah.
And not only is was that a great goal, but it's Panama's first goal in the World Cup ever.
Mm.
So
yes,
fair play to them.
Yes. What a way to open your account.
Yeah. I mean, they still got beat.
Well, yeah, but still.
And I believe, was that not the only goal they scored in the thing as well, but what a way to go out on.
Yeah, I will give you a not. It's a slightly weird one, but I just needed a way to get this fact in.
Sure.
My not is Gianluigi Buffon retiring.
Yes.
At the age of 45, which is incredible.
Fair play to him.
Yeah. The reason that it's a not is because I stumbled across this remarkable statistic. This coming season will be the first season since 1930 that won't feature one of Stanley Matthews, Peter Shilton, or Gianluigi Buffon.
That's mad.
Those three players can take us back seamlessly to 1930.
That makes a lot of sense, though. Because,
it's incredible, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm assuming Matthews as well, but definitely Shilton and Buffon have, I believe, something like over 1,100 appearances.
Yeah,
it's a very small group of people that are in that club.
Yeah, I think Buffon was something like 647 or something like that upon retirement. It was a large number.
I think it's more.
Yeah.
I actually think it's more.
But yeah, either way, and it was just that, really, basically.
It is a sort of the end of an era in some ways as well, because Gianluigi Buffon has just always been there.
Yeah.
Hasn't he? I mean, started in 1995, you know?
Well, if he, and now he can go down the Peter Shilton route of conspiracy theories on Twitter.
He got over 1,100 professional career appearances.
Oh, right.
Because he's got...
It was like something Serie A appearances, I think.
Yeah, so his senior sort of career in like league is 754.
Right.
He's capped 176 times for Italy.
Right.
And he's got obviously a handful of things like under-21s and stuff like that. There'll be Cup, there'll be all these other things as well. And Peter Shilton, because it's just up here as well, has an equally impressive record of 1,005 league appearances from 1966 to 1997.
Yeah.
125 caps for England. Bloody hell. And now he's just, he's not well, is he, mentally, Peter Shilton? A man so utterly broken by a cocaine-taking miniature Argentine.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah, there
is
we
he
go.
Not like, is he not like an advert? He's in an advert for like mattresses or something like that these days. Something like
I have
that.
No idea. Well, either way, Peter Shilton, here's to you. Right.
Give him a big hand.
Have you got something else?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go very obvious with the knot and go Jordan Henderson's move
to Saudi Arabia,
but I thought that was a bit dull, so I'm going to go for Hibs fans that spent £500 travelling to Andorra.
That's a hot, surely. That's very funny.
Me, yes, but I mean, probably not for them. So to see okay, so Hibs finished fifth in the Scottish League last season because Celtic won the cup, got into the Conference League. And had, you know, one would suggest quite an easy tie to get them going. Namely, that they were playing a team from Andorra. And a team that I don't think were particularly good in Andorra. Inter Escalades. So, went there, lost, of course. Lost 2-1. Shouldn't really be 2-1. It should have been 2-0. They got a 96th minute sort of saver. I fully expect them tonight, they're playing tonight, Thursday, what is it, 3rd of August?
Yeah.
I fully expect them to win 5-0. But to see them get bodied by a team of semi-pros, like plumbers, teachers, and it's Andorra, so I'm guessing, you know, investors, getting booed off the pitch, people shouting, I paid £500 to be here, and watching the game, and just in the background, there's just like a field of cows. Unbelievable entertainment. It's like,
great stuff.
What a club.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need the coefficient points. So I do kind of want Hibs to win today. But you don't go, oh, we've drawn a team from Andorra. Tricky place to go to.
Potential banana skin up in the mountains.
Deary me.
I've got a hot. It is also Scottish football related.
Oh, boys.
It is Raith Rovers.
Raith Rovers?
Raith Ravers.
Raith Ravers, yes.
And their new away kit.
I have not seen Raith's new away
kit. Now, this is a really nice story. I'll tell you it before you look it up. Because this is very cool. Their new away kit commemorates... It was a fan design away kit. And it commemorates their 1923 tour of the Canary Islands.
Okay.
Where they were to play six games. However, their boat was shipwrecked en route to the Canaries on the north coast of Spain. No significant injuries reported, and they managed to continue and complete their tour. Two of the sides they faced would eventually combine to form UD Las Palmas.
Okay. Right?
And the Raith Rovers shirt now is in the yellow and blue of Las Palmas with a map of the Canaries and the dates of the tour incorporated into the design. It's proven so popular that they've already sold more than 30 shirts to Las Palmas fans. The Las Palmas club shop has asked to stock the Rovers jersey in their fan shop, and there are plans for a friendly game between the two sides next summer, all arising from this fan-designed shirt.
That's crazy.
It's good, isn't it?
Segunda now, Las Palmas, or the...
Don't know.
Okay.
But it was just a nice story. I thought it was really cool.
I really enjoyed it when you said they sold over 30 shirts, and I thought, man, Kirkcaldy's not that small, but... that's good. I'm just going to very quickly look that up, now, because it's one of these ones where either the way you describe it to me means it'll be a belter or it'll look awful.
No, it's really subtle. The island and the dates are only kind of like around the bottom where the side sort of stitching goes up. Like it's a very subtle little thing, but it's this. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So they're,
yeah,
it looks like a Ukraine shirt.
It does a little bit, yeah.
It's Joma. Yoma are actually quite good at doing kits these days.
Yeah. Anyway, that was
That's a nice, that's a good one. That's a Scottish football one that I did not know, so congratulations to you.
Right, let's go back to reality and talk about yesterday's game against Dukla Praha.
Right, so at a slightly better time of 6 o'clock instead of 5:30, means you could get out of the office and go, we took on what is really a reasonably big game for the start of the season. As Borojovka, I think, obviously coming into the season as red-hot favourites to go straight back up and to win the title. But after having a really good end to their campaign last time out, Dukla Prague found themselves in the second in the odds, I believe it's something like 5-1.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was quite a big game, especially because, knowing Zbrojovka, we will not get a result when we go into Prague to play the
Absolutely
away leg.
Not, yeah.
So you go in there, it was a little bit of a buzz about the place, a little bit of enthusiasm, and frankly, David, I wasn't that impressed.
No, it was really, really quite poor indeed. The first half hour we had possession and we played some neat stuff, but neat stuff is not enough when you concede basically Dukla's first attempt on goal.
Yes.
Stjepan Szeberle, the scorer. And neat stuff is not enough when you do not manage a single shot on goal for the entire game. Or on target, I should say. For the whole game.
Is that right?
Yep. Not a single shot on target.
It's a weird one because coming out of the first half, I wasn't that dispirited. I thought Zbrojovka were clearly the better team in the first half. We're sort of
we were until we
chances.
Conceded.
Yeah, and then we conceded.
But there again, were we the better team just because we managed to retain possession? We didn't do anything with the possession. We
spent half the time in the third. That would be my argument there. And we were
did
sort
we?
Of
we spent
around.
A lot of time in their half. But once we got to the final third, no, the final ball was fucking appalling. The decision making was ropey.
I don't think the final ball was that terrible. The problem was, in my view, is that we've gone back to a Zbrojovka of old where people do not take on shots.
Or they take responsibility of any sort,
to thread it.
In this case.
And getting, you know, just trying to thread it gets us 2 goals a season, maybe? Taking just a fucking shot on against a team in the second tier should really be a very obvious way forward. And, you know, if we are going to sort of back to the, sort of the history of Zbrojovka, the, you know, losing a goal quite late into the, you know, into the first half and then doing absolutely nothing of note in the second half feels very much like the reason that we're down in this division in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of specks of light. Endel was pretty good getting in the way of things, and he seems to be taking responsibility for playing the ball out from the back. Dan Murphy, who you went drinking with after the game, is a big fan of Endel. Mm-hmm. He counted at least 6 raking balls from the back that found their target in midfield, so he looked up to speed and he looked decent. Ali was brought on at half time to a massive cheer from the crowd. That was nice. He looks quick as expected, but not sharp. Also, as expected, because he's been injured all summer.
Yeah, and it's a quick return from Belgium, where he was absolutely going to, according to his agent.
Well, he's, you know, he didn't do himself a lot. Well, I tell you, he's a brave man for wandering around Brno in a Banik Ostrava t-shirt over summer. Did you not see that?
I did not see
that. Yeah, somebody took a photo of him. Because there's another Nigerian guy who plays for Banik.
Okay.
And I think he's, like, they've either sort of become mates or, like, after the game they sort of chatted or whatever.
Tijani, maybe?
Yes, yeah. And he basically gave him a Banik shirt and somebody took a photo of Ali wandering around Brno in a Banik jersey, like, on his phone. It's like, there's a brave man right there.
Bless him.
Dear me.
Bless him.
Rumours that he's
in some sort of debt.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, I don't know what's going
club.
On there, but yeah, I mean,
murky stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, once he's back up to speed, he's going to be
useful.
They've also moved him from shirt number 17 to shirt number 10, which I'm not pleased about. 17 is a winger's number. 10 is not a winger's number for me.
I know you're a stickler to these sorts of things. Yeah, like, it was such a, because he came on at halftime along with Denis Granechny.
Replacing Smekal, who'd done nothing.
Smekal's done nothing. I don't know if it's a confidence. I don't know if it's one of these, here's a reason why Smekal is down in the FNL, because he's, you know, past it now. But it was, I mean, I understand why you would bring them on. I wasn't convinced at the time the game needed pace. I was convinced more that there was a certain sort of control needed to try and get into positions where we actually try and test the keeper. Doesn't matter what I think, because neither things happened really in the second half. I mean, the only things that I would maybe note is I still haven't really seen Josef Divacek do fucking anything.
Yeah, he's started all three games so far.
Yeah, and I, you know, this was a player that I was quite happy to not play for the club again and to get released in the summer, and I thought he was, but I think they maybe had a change of heart and kept him.
I think when things settle down, the back four will eventually be Gwenechny, Shural, Endel, Kojeluch.
You reckon?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know if we'd play Gwenechny at the back again, though. That's the thing.
You think with this five-man midfield, we need somebody wide or just an option either at sort of full-back or
I just don't wide know. Midfield? I don't see him starting. That's really? The thing. Okay. Even and that's a shame because I think actually times that he has started,
he's all right. I mean, he's perfect for this level.
I like how he has a go. Like he'll do it. It'll be a daft shot. It'll be like 35 yards out. What are you just
he's
like?
He's a daft lad, isn't he?
Why didn't you do that? Yeah,
you love a daft lad.
But it's sort of like at least he gives it a go because sometimes it works. You know, like that goal against Bohemians, which was cruelly chalked off.
Yeah,
what a hit that was, but.
He just gives me massive Stepanovsky vibes.
That's not bad. Coach Stepanovsky to you, of course.
Yes, this sort of 5-year spans Petr Stepanovsky.
Because he's now coaching the under 18s, I think, isn't he?
Is he?
Assistant coach of the under 18s.
Yeah, training them to just go for the kneecap.
Hit thunder bastards and knee high. Like, I mean, it's amazing how, you know, he has none of the finesse of Paul Scholes, but all the tackling of him. But what I was going to say was the thing that I really had of note in this game was, well, first of all, we were reunited, of course, with the one Mr. Michal Škoda, who I was convinced was going to score when he came on. But also, I think a certain fair play has to be said to Dukla, who I thought were pretty resolute in the end.
They were good, actually, yeah.
They didn't have much chances, but got a lead and then just sort of boxed himself in.
Mm.
Got second on a break on a very Zbrojovka sort of goal to concede, sort of passing it square across face of the goal and gets tapped in, if I recall.
Yeah, because we had just had a really good chance. Ali had a shot which he sort of flashed over the bar,
didn't he, or something? Yeah,
and then we just switched off for 45 seconds and bam, 2-0. Lukasz Matejka. Yeah, from like 2 yards, as you say, you know, across the face of the goal. Martin Novi just looks at it.
I swear, every goal we concede, I've seen 10 of before, like that we've conceded by. But, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, the reaction to this has obviously not been good.
No.
I wouldn't expect it to be good. And actually, if it was good, that's probably a problem in itself.
Mm.
But it is the third game of the season, and we are notorious slow starters.
We are, yeah.
You know, if we think about, you know, a couple of seasons ago where we actually, you know, went up on the technicality, we didn't have to do the playoff. But I think we were something like eighth after 5 or 6 games before What's-His-Face got the chop after that terrible, also Dukla game. And you know, we kicked on and we were fine. That was when we brought in your man from Lishen,
Michalek. Yeah.
So we've got form for this. You know, they can't all be bangers. But, you know, what's this leave us? Like 4 points, seventh or something like that?
We're 5 points off the top. As you said, there are three teams with perfect records.
And the ones with perfect records, I don't expect to be staying around there, maybe except for Vyshkov.
Yeah. As we mentioned, one of the bright sparks from the opening three games was the Paul Zanoloni, Adam Kronos.
Yes.
And that brings us up to a possibly very short-lived section. Would you like to play a small game that I have invented?
Yes.
It's called... Right.
Please, is it called Kronos or Nonus?
It's called Could They Phone Us with Adam Kronos?
Fucking hell.
Right.
Is that actually what it's called?
Yep.
Is there a music that's going to come in? Like, da-da-na-na-na-na or something.
Hold on.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah,
there you go. Right. As we know, Adam Cronus is also the Greek personification of time. So...
I did know that, yes.
Yes. So, I'm going to give you three people from history, and you are going to have to say whether they could have phoned us.
This is worse than my Power League one. Oh, God. Let's go.
Okay, so basically, you were born in 1988?
I was born in 1988,
right,
yes.
Right, I'm older than you, so basically, it's just on you. Basically, does this person's life cross over with yours? Yeah?
Oh, okay. It's not like, I thought it was like the time of the telephone. I was like, hope it's Alexander Graham Bell.
No. Basically, does their life cross over with yours? So had they known you, could they have phoned you?
Okay, good. All right.
Right. Personage number one, former Prime Minister Sir Alec Douglas Hume.
Oh,
could
okay.
he have phoned you with Adam Cronew?
He was Prime Minister in the 20s, 30s, was he? I'm going to say that he could not phone me. I'm banking on him dying in the 60s or 70s.
You've got your time periods completely wrong.
Oh, okay.
He was just before Wilson, I think.
Oh, okay. So he probably could have phoned me.
And yes, he could have phoned you. He died in 1995 at the age of 92.
He was a Tory, was he?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Too soon. Anyway.
Right. Could Ella Fitzgerald phone us with Adam Cronus?
Ella Fitzgerald. No, she was nowhere near alive. Or am I thinking of Billie Holiday? Uh-oh. Ah, no.
It's good this, isn't it?
People are going to say I'm a racist as well because I confused her with another black woman. No.
You're saying Ella Fitzgerald could not have phoned you?
No.
She absolutely could have. She died in 1996.
I'm going to go 0 for 3 here.
At the age of 79. Finally, film director Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, it's been wrong so far. One of them, you would think, in the balance of probability, is going to be a no. So I'm going to say that Alfred Hitchcock could not have phoned me. But could he have appeared in a clever cameo at some point?
You're saying no?
I'm saying no.
Bang on, he died 1980 at the age of 80.
1980 at the age of 80?
Yeah.
There we go.
So that was Could They Phone Us with Adam Cronus.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, that's... this is... I feel it's going to come back. I already have a feeling that this one is going to come back.
I'm
at least once.
I'm also working on other things that just rhyme with other people in the squad.
Oh, that's...
I don't know, like, you know, Famous Sallys with Musa Ali. Also, I don't know.
Famous Sallys.
I don't fucking know.
Famous Sallys. Well, there's Sally Gunnell. There's Sally...
Sally Webster.
Sally Webster. Good.
Aunt Sally. Sally Forth.
I don't really know my Sally.
Those are all the Sallys. They're the three questions.
Would you take Sals as well, like Salvatore's?
Sally Dali.
Good, yeah.
I would not take that, no. Anyway, that was that. After this break, we're going to have an actually genuinely new section, which is called A Potted History Of. So, strap in for that. Right then, seeing as we've been to pretty much all the places in the first and second leagues now, and we have been looking at kind of the history of the town or whatever, yeah. I thought I would now do a sort of potted history of the clubs themselves, because that's something we've really missed out on.
Good.
Yeah. It was going to be for each away game, but Sigma Alamance B are not really after doing the potted history of them, so I decided Dukla was going to be the obvious one.
Good.
It's a little bit tricky because the original Dukla, founded in 1948, are no more.
Yes.
Can you remember what they became?
Yes, so I believe that they moved to Příbram?
Yes,
yeah.
In 1996 to become Dukla Příbram.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another thing that they managed to buy and steal. Anyway, they were founded, this is the original Dukla, as I say, 1948, as Armadni Tělovýchovný Klub Praha, the Army Physical Education Club of Prague. Yep. And they won the first of 11 Czechoslovak titles in 1953, becoming Dukla in 1956. Why did they choose the name Dukla? There's a history question for you.
That's a good one, because I am only... The only thing I can tell you there is that I know that Dukla is a name that is connected to the army here, which is why you have several Duklas, like you have Dukla Jihlava and the hockey, for example.
Yes, exactly.
But I couldn't tell you properly for why.
It was a battle in the Second World War, the Battle of the Dukla Pass.
Okay.
Which was on the border of Slovakia and Poland on the Eastern Front.
Ah.
Which was lost, but eventually, I think, paved way for a victory for, like, sort of Ukrainian sort of patriot soldiers against the Nazis.
Yeah.
So there are huge sort of statues and plaques at the where it is. There's like tanks and there's like a wall of all the people who fell there. So yeah, it was a big sort of like patriotic victory for Czechoslovakia and Poland.
That's fascinating. That it's very like, you know, there's sort of form for this as well, because it's like why so many teams in England have a cop, because of the Battle of the Spion Cop. So it feels very much like that.
Mm. Yeah, very much the same thing. Dukla won the first ever Czechoslovak double in 1961 as the Czechoslovak Cup was introduced. And Dukla won both the title and the cup, defeating Žilina in the final. And in 1962, they supplied 7 players to the Czechoslovak World Cup squad who made it to the final. They lost 3-1, but Dukla's Josef Masopust, who scored their goal in the final, won the Ballon d'Or in 1962, so that was nice.
That'd be a real, real legendary figure in Czech
Absolutely,
football,
Masopust. Dukla also won the American Challenge Cup, which I had never heard of before this.
Okay. If it's the American Challenge Cup, does that mean they had the penalty shootout from the halfway line?
They did not. However, in its early iteration, Kilmarnock made it to a final. So, there you go.
Truly anything was possible.
It really was. It was something I'd never heard of. But it was basically a kind of US-based sort of club World Cup.
Yeah.
It only ran from 1960 to 1965, but Dukla won the first when it was a kind of a league format, and then it turned into sort of a round robin tournament, and they beat America, like the Rio based version, in the first like proper finals. Then they beat West Ham in the second proper final, and then they beat Zagłębie Sosnowiec of Poland in their third proper final, and in their fourth proper final they played and they lost to Polonia Bytom. And when Polonia Bytom win anything, they decide to cancel the competition. So in 1965, that was the last version.
I mean, they make jokes about, Americans being lazy, but they couldn't imagine their own football teams.
No, it's a really convoluted thing to read about. It took me about half an hour to write that paragraph because I couldn't get my head around what the whole thing was. It was basically FIFA didn't like the USA doing soccer ball, and the USA didn't like FIFA very much.
Yeah, sure.
So basically anyone who played in a kind of nascent US soccer league would be banned from playing in any other country because the US refused to go under FIFA rules.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they got a load of kind of off-duty in the summer European teams over.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, let's have a league that's not bound by anything, and there'll be a winner.
That does sort of make sense.
Yeah, and they did, and that's what it is.
It's a weird one, though. I feel it's one of these ones where you don't actually want to know the backstory, you just want to leave it hanging there that they won the American Challenge Cup. I don't know if you saw like a couple of months ago, there's a really good Guardian article actually about how Motherwell won the Copa del Rey in 1927.
What?
And you just leave it like that.
Yeah.
Because actually, you know, they had a thing and there was an invite, you know, sort of thing and stuff like that. Don't want to know about that. Just want to know that Motherwell won Copa del Rey. So very much like that. But that's fascinating.
Yeah. It was absolutely bizarre. I'm gonna find out more about that because just the list of teams in that competition is bananas. It's amazing. Anyway, the club won three more titles in the 1980s, but by the time the mid-90s arrived, everything had gone sort of to pot, and they merged with the wonderfully named, at the time, FC Portal Příbram. Sorry, Portal Příbram. And after Dukla Příbram became Prvný FK Příbram, in 2001, FK Dukla Davidsa took over the Dukla Prague name, but was denied legal succession, so they can't claim any of the sort of past glories. Those are sort of gone and in a museum now. But they did begin playing at Juliska, and that's the Dukla Prague that exists today and to whom we lost 2-0 and will probably lose 2-0 in Prague later this season.
Yeah.
So that's a potted history of Dukla Prague.
That's pretty good. That's,
there we go.
That's not bad. I don't know about you, but I was quite surprised that there were about 5 away fans there because of that, obviously, that history there of being basically a sort of a new club.
Yeah, they get very few fans at home. They don't.
Yeah, they don't really get anyone. I think there's a couple of old lads that go in there and some sort of Faded Glory sort of thing, but there's not many of them like that. That hill's a pain in the arse as well.
It's a hell of a hill. Anyway, let's talk about Tabor.
Right, you're going to Tabor at the weekend.
Yes, for better or worse. Probably worse.
Hopefully it's going to be better.
Mm.
I have not seen anything that justifies me giving up a day to go to Tabor.
It's a very nice town.
I'm sure it is. I have plans far later in the evening to watch SummerSlam.
I don't know what that is.
The wrestling.
Right, okay.
So, and that's going to start at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's going to be a very football-y weekend, actually, because I'm planning to watch Coventry City take it to Leicester on Sunday.
On a Sunday?
Sunday lunchtime, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting first game, isn't it? That's a derby, right?
If you're out and about and fancy watching a Midlands derby, then... Yeah. Anyway, Tabor.
Broadcast@gmail.com. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Tabor. So, if you'd asked me at this, you know, which of the teams would be 3 from 3 after game 3, I don't think Tabor really would be high on my list. They had a reasonably good season last time out. I'm saying this as if I paid any attention to the league last season. I didn't. They won more than they lost. 7th place overall in the league, and. So considering that they spent a season, I think 3 seasons ago in the Czech FL, they got relegated and bounced straight back up. They've actually improved their standing each year since. I think it was 11th, 8th and 7th. And that's certainly decent progress. Not the hardest start to a campaign I've ever seen. They've played, Kromě Žiž, who are newly promoted from the MSFL, Sparta B, that were flirting with relegation.
They were,
At some stages last season, and perennial mid-table side Chrudim. But I guess you can only beat what's in front of you after all. What is fascinating is Serbian midfielder Bojan Djordjic.
Oh, that guy.
He's flown out of the traps, man.
Yes.
So, 4 goals in the first 3 matches. Not bad. Second season with the team, joining in January from Varnsdorf.
He is the most FNL player
he goes
I
around.
Have ever seen.
He goes he's around.
Like, he does a job. He is the most FNL player I've ever seen in my life. He's incredible. Like, he's just, he sort of bounces from team to team and does a really good job wherever he goes.
Yeah. I was going to see if I could very quickly look up what his other ones, his other things were. However, there was also Bojan Djordjic, who's a former Swedish professional footballer who
played for Manchester United.
Yes, so yeah.
A very different Bojan Djordjic.
Indeed, this one has not been capped 28 times for Sweden under 17.
Is he not?
Yeah, so he's doing well, but yeah, he is very much, he's been kicking around in this league for some time. He bagged 11 last season as well across both clubs, which is not bad for having missed 9 matches with injury and suspension. Good, yeah. So they are, I'd say the partial to a 4-2-3-1, as are our friends from Taborsko with Jakub Šašinka up top. He is the older brother of Banik and Slovatsko player Ondra Šašinka. So he joined the team again, start of 2023. He was also at Banik for some time, but he's had a couple of interesting ones. He's come back to the Czech Republic after being released by Al Daid from the UAE second tier. Al Daid is sounding like you've just given friends some bad news of the passing of someone. But yeah, he was also apparently at AEP Kozani, who I've never heard of.
No.
Turns out that's because they bounce around the lower leagues of Greek football. I think they're in the fourth tier now or something like this. And to be honest, the Khrudin one as well is a bit short because I don't think that there's actually been many interesting signings there. It's been players mostly around the FNL. Seems like they're quite set on much of the squad from last season. If you're improving your place every year and you don't have people coming in for your players,
yeah, why would you rip it up? It just, like, lots of kind of mid-table FNL teams just seem that consolidation is the order of the day and, you know, getting your house in order.
Yeah. I mean, it's keeping in mind as well, and obviously we don't have the statistics to hand because I don't even know where you would get them, but I mean, I would be working on the assumption that a team like Taborsko is going to have one of the lower budgets in this league anyway, so you're not exactly going to go out and be signing players that are going to be asking for a couple of hundred K a month, you know.
Small town, tiny ground.
This is it's
probably a difficult place to persuade people to come because you would think they would live in Prague, and paying them enough to live in Prague is probably a problem. So.
I mean, it's a small but committed support, you might say. I mean, I've not seen the stats, but I don't think they get much more than a few hundred to games. But of course, you've been before, and we had a curtain raiser there a couple of seasons back where we made very, very hard work of a 1-0 victory there.
Yeah. The things I remember were it being a very nice town with a very nice little square, a couple of craft beer pubs. We had some nice lunch, and the beer at the stadium was ice cold Bernard 12.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Some advantages there. So you and Ben again, is it?
Me, Ben and Fraser.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yep. So you'll have a good time.
We will.
And I'll be in my bed.
That's fine.
It kicks off at 5, though, so I don't know why I'd be in my bed then, but...
You see, you know, rough Saturday, I don't know.
Rough Saturday ship. Me as a dog.
Right.
So there you go. There's a Tabor. Just for the fun of it, David, give me a prediction.
1-1.
That was going to be my prediction.
It can be your prediction as well.
I'm going to go for a 3-0 Zbrojovka Brno win just to add a bit of positivity.
Okay, fair enough.
It could happen.
Anyway, talking about ice cold beers, beer of the podcast.
Beer of the podcast. Struggling to breathe there at the end. Yeah. There, it was a.
Well, that'll be that, you know, extra BMI.
That's Fat Sam. So it was Fat Sam's choice of. Fucking hell. It was Sam's. Let me start that again. It was my choice of beer this time. And David, have you ever bought something and then just sort of regretted it?
Oh, many times.
Just, you know, within like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's my beer of the podcast.
Okay.
So I saw something that caught my eye in the nice beer shop on Viveri, and I thought, this will be quite nice.
Okay.
And then I put it in my bag, and I thought, I bet it's not that nice.
Right.
So, first mistake is that I just saw this here. It's got a lovely lady with a sort of a, almost like a B-52 haircut.
Yeah.
Shaped as a raspberry, and it's a raspberry porter.
It's a very cool label.
And it's Wolfass Engelmann. And I was like, I've never heard of that Czech brewery. Definitely didn't, because it turns out that this is from Lithuania.
Right.
I also regretted it as well, because I thought it was surprisingly cheap.
Right.
It was about 35 crowns, and it didn't have the price on it. It was just in the fridge, and I thought, okay, I'll give that a go, thinking it would be about 90 crowns for a can.
Sure, yeah.
And then reassuringly, you know, expensive in that sort of sense. Sort of thing. But it's like 35 crowns.
35 crowns. And the third reason?
7.5%. Raspberry porter. So yeah. I have poured basically half a can between the two of us. Frankly, in case it sucks.
Yeah. All these three things do not point to enjoyment, but, you know, we've been wrong before.
Yes, absolutely. They're from Kaunas.
Good.
It might surprise you all to know, listener, that I do not speak nor read Lithuanian, so I can't tell you any more about Wolfass Engelmann. Bizarrely, it's got a... It's just like a stamp, and it's got beer mail at the bottom of it.
Which is meaningless.
Yeah, so that to me...
Well, let's see.
However, 10% of it is raspberry puree.
It does smell like raspberry. It really does.
It does smell
very, very fruity smell. Because I was worried, because it looked... It's almost brown in colour. It looks a bit sludgy.
Yeah.
It's got bits in it. But... we will see, and I'm pleased it smells like fruit, because it looks a little bit like something that would pour into a British waterway at this point.
It does look a bit like, you know, like looks like, you know, when Michael Moore did that film in Flint, and no one can drink any of the water. Yeah, it's a bit like that. Well, I mean, here's
anyway,
to Lithuania. I don't know what cheers is in Lithuanian, so I don't know. Cheers is.
It's all right, that.
You reckon?
It's okay. It's weird that it's fruit first and then quite a lot of stout flavour on the back.
I'm not raving. Better on the second go. But, you're welcome to that if you want. I think I'm just going to be drinking my normal beer.
Yeah, it's... yeah, there's a slight hint of coffee afterwards, which will be the stout thing.
Oh yeah, there is actually now.
I mean, I will get through this. I'm not sure how much further we'll be going on the can. But...
I mean, it was under 40 crowns.
Yeah.
So either someone's got a really good deal of being able to get pallets of Lithuanian craft beer, or...
I don't know, fell off the back of a Lithuanian lorry or something.
Yeah.
Well, that was certainly a thing that's happened.
Yes. I feel we were on quite a good run of beers, and yet again it's me that's fucked it.
Ah, well, never mind. This is a reset for the start of series 6. So.
This is, I mean, actually what maybe it's Zbrojovcast first episode beer, because you're not really that happy with it, but you can see how it could be improved.
Yes.
Which I feel is a metaphor for how we're going through in the moment.
Indeed. On that note... fruity, 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 fruity! Let's get a preview!
Whoa, yes.
Now...
yes, it's the East Bohemian Mid-Table Juggernaut.
Ah, yes. A game which neither of us are going to.
No, because we are going to a wedding.
Yes.
Not ours.
Not ours.
So, you know, congratulations to the happy couple. And yes, won't be there. So if you want to find out about what the how the game was and you don't go yourself, can't help you there, unfortunately. We may have our spies on the ground for it.
We certainly will have a couple of spies, I think. Or you could just get off your ass and go, unless you live in like the US. Sure. I wouldn't recommend flying over for Pernod versus Crudeen.
Stranger things have happened.
Very few stranger things have happened.
True. I mean, a team that I like to have in the league, just because they are the, you know, the CHFL technically, but they are the most east of the CHFL teams. So it's easy to get to. It's not so difficult.
You also like their badge as well.
They just seem the whole Imperial Germany sort of Weimar Republic sort of thing going on. It's not Weimar Republic. I don't know. The red, white, and black thing, but before it was Nazis, just when they were mad nationalists. Not Nazis, just mad nationalists. Yeah, so
a good clarification.
Sure. So they've not had a great start. 2-0 with Li Shen and Vlashim. Li Shen look a bit dodgy right now. And then they had a 3-0 loss to the aforementioned Taborsko yesterday evening. They'll be looking to get a result this weekend against Sparta B. Again, no great shakes of a team. And then take advantage of what I've written in my notes as an underwhelming Zborovka Brno side.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
It will be nice to get reunited with a friend of the podcast,
Yusha Floder.
So, still a decent keeper, in my opinion.
Absolutely,
David.
Yeah.
And I believe, yep, and he's not, still number one there as well. They have supplemented their squad by some players that are surplus to requirements in the top division. So, they have Jan Zawiszka from Hradec. Spoiler alert, they get a lot of players from Hradec generally.
Well, yeah, because they can drive 20 minutes
away. Philip Novotny as well. And it's a good location as well for the loan market, because if you are a team, like, you're not actually that far away from Prague. You are 30 minutes really equidistant, perhaps, from Hradec Kralove and Pardubice.
You're not that far from Boleslav either, really.
Yeah, that's true. And on the subject of Pardubice, we are going to be once again reunited by David Hoof. David Hoof is going to be there. He has gone straight up front, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason for that as well. Is that
it's because he's a very large man.
He's a very large man. He'll score.
Yeah.
He scored a bunch of times against us in his various club guises. He replaces basically Philip Fehrbacher, who was our top scorer last season.
Uh-huh.
And this is the, you know, it's a double-edged sword. If you're a small club with not so much money like Krugim, you can be very, very effective as a place to, sort of get people on loan.
Yeah.
Still quite a community club, one might argue as well. Krugim's small, their support's small. They've got, you know, I think a decent sort of setup and structure there for their young players. So it does make sense to use that as a place to develop talent. But the problem is that when they're good, they bugger off.
Yeah.
Or you're just in a financial situation where a player gets too good and then he leaves as well. I mean, David Vachulin, for example, was probably the big one of the last few years, who's a cracking player. So Fehrbacher's gone. And I always feel this is insulting when it happens. Like, so he got, obviously his loan finishes in the summer and he has immediately gone out on loan, but this time to Varnsdorf. So he's going to be kicking around the same sort of league as well. But generally, a team that we've, especially at home, not really had any significant problems against.
Nope.
I remember that there was that one game as well. I think it was both of our first times to Krugim, when they just got promoted. And it was a pretty foul day. Not as foul as the second time we were there, but we sort of struggled, I remember, and then laboured ourselves to a 1-1 draw. The second time, I think we battered them 5-1 or something like that. It was Adam Fosek's first goal for the club.
Yeah, it was where it was quite close up until about the last sort of 20 minutes and then we just
opened,
absolutely turned
opened
them
up. Yeah, I think it was a Lukasz Magiera double as well that day.
We both managed to shake hands with a baffled looking Lukasz Magiera because we were in the home end because you were feeling really ill.
I was feeling ill.
So we thought we don't want to stand in the rain.
Yeah.
We'll go undercover and literally undercover
and
in
got,
the home end.
And it actually got fight a bit dry in the second half and it was actually fine. But yeah, it wasn't really all about that that life. It was a
no.
So we're not away, we're at home for this one. So on form, shouldn't be any trouble. This is, however, a Zbrojovka Brno squad and a new look Zbrojovka Brno squad. So who knows, frankly, but I would really be expecting a home win. I'm starting to think now, okay, a ways away, tough place to go, etc. But if we are not beating Chrudim and we're not getting a point or three from Tabor, this is where I think you start to maybe think that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see for that. But also, just very quickly, we are, of course, also looking forward next week to Club Cup football because we will be going away to, is it Zdjerets that I think we're going to?
Zdjerets, yeah.
In the first round of the Mall Pohar.
Yeah, that's just on the border of South Moravia and Vysočina up there.
It's surprisingly difficult to get to.
Yeah, it's just past Zdjar. Zdjar.
I believe it's again like a 5 or a 5:30 kickoff. So that
on a Wednesday, yes.
Unfortunately, takes us out of the running there. But I am looking forward to what always happens in the second round when we get Slovan Rosice.
Yep.
I can't remember when we didn't. So that'll be a nice local game to look forward to. When presumably Zbrojovka Brno get through to the second round, but I've seen stranger things happen with this team.
Yes. Right, I feel that's just about it for this first episode of Series 6, as we have previously mentioned. So thank you, listener, if you've been sticking with us since the very beginning, or if you're a new listener, then welcome aboard.
Just thanks for the numbers.
Yeah.
Thanks for the memories. We try to be quite an interactive podcast-ish, so I know that David is running a little Photoshop thing over on the Facebook. If you just want to see memes and half-arseness, you can go watch. You can go join us on what I believe now is called X.com.
No.
The artist platform formerly known as Twitter, where I occasionally post things. And please feel free to tweet at us or to Facebook us.
Yeah, get involved.
And yes, we will hopefully see you at the next one.
Right. That's your lot for this one. Thanks very much. See you soon.
Bye.
Nejlíp se máš, dokud ležíš po čárku, to se život nejvíc usmívá. Později holka zmašlí sníti polárku a začneš chápat, jak to v světě chodívá. To vadí, že ta láska ráda mě podráží. To vadí, že ta láska tíží víc než závaží. Parku ti pak bere věci na hraní, všichni se tý holky zastanou. Když jí zbiješ, musíš dělat pokání a začneš chápat věčnou pravdu nepsanou. Thank you. ta věčná služba jedný z žen. Začneš toužit po svým modrým kočárku, když ti holka s jiným uniká. Zkusíš hledat štěstí v